Please open your Bibles to the book of Romans, the 7th chapter. In your Schofield Bible, page 1200. And starting with verse 18 of the 7th chapter of Romans, we'll read responsively to verse 25. The 23rd verse is the text verse for this evening's message. And shall we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of the Word of God. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And let's pray. Father, another wonderful passage from Thy Word, and there's something here for us tonight. This is a miraculous book. And miraculous not only in its writing and in its content, but also in its preservation. Thank you for your word, and thank you for this great crowd tonight. We pray that you'd help those who are in very particular and special need. And all of us have something of need tonight that will see that need met. We're sure through thy word. We'll just listen and pay attention to the preacher. And so bless him as he comes and fill him with thy spirit, and we too who listen in Jesus' name. Amen.
For those of you visiting, that was my wife and my daughter and my granddaughter all singing. The only thing that was missing was a bass part. And that could be corrected by invitation if I receive such an invitation, which I do not expect to come soon. I made mention this morning that my title was the same mind is what I said the title was going to be. I'm going to change it, and that is the battle for the mind. The battle for the mind. You're going to have to listen carefully tonight, because it'll be line upon line and precept upon precept, and you'll have to follow logically what I am saying illogically. So I hope that you'll follow me carefully. I use as my text that one verse, and you need not turn to it again. It says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I hope you listen carefully tonight. I really do. Father, bless me as I speak, and our people as they hear. And I pray that tonight something will change somebody's life, yea, many somebody's, as we consider this subject, the battle for the mind, the battle of the mind, in Jesus' name, amen. First Peter 4:1 says, the same mind. In Revelation 17:13, we have the little two little words, one mind. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, we have the command, be of one mind. In Philippians 4:2, it says, be of the same mind. In Philippians 1:27, it says, be of one mind. Philippians 2:2, be of one mind. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11 says, be of one mind. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, perfectly joined in the same mind. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind one toward another. Now, follow me very, very carefully. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, we have the mind of Christ. I have a sermon I preached on that time a few years ago. It says, we have the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I've said this again and again in sermons. I preached a sermon on it once, at least once, maybe twice. And that is this. Every Christian has the availability of his own mind, of the mind of Christ. You can choose which one you want to use. For the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. Just like at our house, a little condominium, we have a CD player. And we have different CDs there. We can put whichever CD we want. Now, we have the CD for this CD and the CD for this other one. But it's up to us. Now, we have them, but they're not all playing at the same time. We choose the one that's playing at the same time, each time. Now then, like the mind is that way. Our mind is like the CD machine, and we have two different minds we can place or use. We have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16, Philippians 2:5, and then we also have our own mind. I want to make six statements. Now, don't miss them, one after the other. Statement number one, each of us has his own mind. Brother Colston, your mind is not like my mind. In fact, your mind is not like anybody's mind. And neither is my mind like anybody's mind. And the only minds that are alike on the face of this earth, all blondes have the same type mind. I'm going to preach this book whether you like it or not, folks. But the truth is, with that one statement, I caused more family problems than I've solved in 40 years of pastoring here. But the truth is, no two minds on this earth are exactly alike. Each of us has, don't leave me now, each of us has his own mind. Now then, secondly, God commands us to be of one mind. That's a command of God. We're to be of one mind. We're to be of the same mind, the Bible says. Statement number three, I cannot use my own mind and be of one mind with you. For your mind and my mind are not the same. And your mind and my mind are not the same. My mind is not the same as yours, or yours, or yours. So we cannot, as a church, be of one mind if each person is using his own mind because our minds are not the same. I said number one, don't leave me. Number one, each of us has his own mind. Number two, God commands us to be of one mind, or, as it were, the same mind. Statement number three, I cannot use my own mind and be of the same mind as yours. Number four, so Jesus has given to each of us his own mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16, he's given to each of us his own mind. Number five, if we are to be of one mind, we must use his. For our minds are not the same. And if we are to be of one mind and obey the command of God to be of one mind or the same mind, we must use his mind available to every single believer. We have his mind. And then number six, we may be of one mind if we so choose. If we let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. Are you with me so far? All right, that's the number one. Each of us has his own mind. Number two, God commands us to be of one mind. Number three, I cannot use my own mind and be of one mind with yours because our minds are not the same. Number four, so Jesus has given to each of us his own mind. Number five, if we are one mind or have the same mind, it must be his mind in each of us. And number six, we may be of one mind if we so choose. Now, let's look at our two choices. We have one choice of two. We have this cranium up here, this head up here, and we have a choice of one or two minds to put, my mind or his mind. I have that choice, and you have the same choice if you're a child of God. Now, let's look at the alternatives tonight. First, let's look at his mind and see what it's like. Number one, His mind never allowed covetousness to enter even its vestibule. His mind never permitted impurity as a guest or hatred as a tenant. His mind exterminated the pest of bitterness with a spray of love. His mind was off limits to envy. His mind was immune to jealousy. It was betrothed to righteousness and wed to holiness. This is the mind of Christ. This is the mind that you have available. And yet you use your own puny little mind instead of His mind when you have the mind of deity available all the time. We have the mind of Christ. His mind was baptized in love, clothed with joy, filled with peace, overflowing with long-suffering, immersed in gentleness, and united with goodness. Wow, that mind is available to me. That mind, the same mind that Jesus had, is available to me because we have the mind of Christ. I'm a little tired of people saying, well, Brother House, I just can't overcome evil thoughts. Well, you could if you'd get rid of your cotton-picking mind and put the mind of Christ up here, because the mind of Christ had no evil thoughts, but you're not going to have your own mind with your own thoughts without having evil thoughts and covetousness and malice and hatred and bitterness and revenge in your mind. But you don't have to do that because you have the availability of the mind of Christ. You may have its perfect discernment. Did you hear me? You may have His mind's perfect discernment. You may have its pure morality. You may have its lofty motives. You may have its unspotted love. You may have its complete understanding. You may have its mature intelligence. You may have its depth of thought. You may have its capacity for feeling. You may have its blessed meekness. You may have its tranquil patience. You may have its forgiving mercy. You may have its matchless grace. You may have its pure heart. You may have its limitless joy. You may have its level temperament. You may have its caring compassion. You may have its total humility. You may have its unblemished soundness. And wow, that mind is available for you. Oh, you young people, oh, Brother Hiles, I tell you what. Hey, by the way, that mind doesn't have to watch a dirty magazine. That mind doesn't have to watch a bad program on television. That mind doesn't have to listen to a bunch of filthy rock music, came out of hell, going back to hell one of these days. No, that mind, you have available. You say, well, Brother House, I just can't overcome this. Oh, yes, you can. You, if you're a child of God, the moment you became a child of God, the mind of Christ was given to you, and you have a choice to use that mind or your own mind. I may have that mind to love with. I may have His mind to think with. I may have His mind to study with. I may have His mind to meditate with. I may have His mind to memorize with. So you folks, you say, well, I just haven't good at memory. Why don't you use the mind of Christ and try that a while? You may have His mind to reason with. You may have His mind to choose with. You may have His mind to feel with. You may have His mind to understand with. You may have His mind to discern with. You may have His mind to decide with. You may have His mind to learn with. You may have His mind to know with. You may have His mind to judge with. You may have His mind to counsel with. You may have His mind to will with. The same mind that I'm talking about right here is available to every single child of God. Why don't you take that CD of lust out and put the mind of Christ there? Why don't you take that CD of filth out and put the mind of Christ there? I'm not talking about just preachers. I'm talking about every single blood-washed child of God. I'm not talking about just adults. I'm talking about teenagers. I'm talking about little children. If you have been saved, your name is written in heaven. You have available to you this wonderful, wonderful mind of Christ. It is the same mind that conceived the plan of redemption before the foundation of the world. Did you know who conceived the plan of salvation? Was it God the Father? No. Was it God the Holy Spirit? No. It was God the Son. It was the mind of Jesus Christ Himself that conceived the plan of salvation before there was ever a world. And that mind is available to you. It is the same mind from which came the eternal words of God. From the mind of Jesus Christ Himself came the eternal words of God. And that mind is available to you. It is the same mind that conceived the plan of the universe. It is the same mind that conceived the galaxies.
It is the same mind that conceived the idea of the church, local church, which is the only church in the Bible. It is the same mind that Jesus used with which to confuse the elders, to bewilder the scribes, to confound the Pharisees. It's the same mind that called learned doctors of the law to feel infantile. It is the same mind that yielded in Gethsemane to go to the cross. It is the same mind that so loved the world. It is the same mind that expelled tears at Lazarus' grave. It is the same mind that puzzled the learned Sadducees. It is the same mind that conceived the feathers of the peacock, architected the miracle of the eye, planned the intricacy of the ear, tunes the voices of heaven's feathered choir, charts the plan of the flight of every bird in the course of every creature in the sea. And ladies and gentlemen, that mind is available to you. You don't have to have a dirty mind. You don't have to have a selfish mind. You don't have to have a vengeful mind. You can have the mind of Jesus Christ. It's available to you.
Now we've seen what that mind is like, let's look at the alternative. My mind and yours. Colossians 2:18 says that my mind and yours are fleshly, is a fleshly mind, are fleshly minds. Romans 8:7 says that your mind and mine are enemies of God. Romans 1:28 says that my mind is a reprobate mind and likewise is yours. Luke 12:29 says your mind is a doubtful mind. In Daniel 5:20 it says your mind is a hardened mind. In Proverbs 21:27 it says that your mind is a wicked mind. In Romans chapter 1, your mind and mine, your mind is a vile mind. In Romans chapter 1, your mind is an unrighteous mind. It's an adulterous mind. It's a wicked mind. It's a covetous mind. It's a malicious mind. It's an envious mind. It's a deceitful mind. It is a hating mind. It is a despiteful mind. It is a proud mind. It is a boastful mind. It is a disobedient mind. It is a dishonest mind. And it is an unmerciful mind. All of that in Romans chapter 1 describes the mind of the flesh. Your mind and my mind. Now, pray tell me, why would you want to use a thinking mind like that when the mind of Christ is available? I don't understand that. In Romans chapter 3, it says that my mind and your mind is one whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. It says that your mind is one that feet are swift to shed blood. Eyes have no fear of God. Your ways are destruction and misery. Your throat is an open sepulcher. Your mind is one whose lips possess a poison of asp, and whose tongue is full of cursing. Hey, that is the mind. Here, over here on this side, you have the perfect, sinless mind of the Son of God. Over here on this side, you have the totally depraved mind of humanity, and yet you sit there tonight and let that mind be in you, which is full of cursing and bitterness and hatred and filth and garbage, when there is available to you. And I'm not talking about preachers or deacons or Sunday school teachers. I'm not talking about folks who have college degrees from Howells Anderson College. I'm talking, if you got saved this morning, if you got saved this morning, you already have available the mind of Christ. In God's name, put it in. This is the mind of the atheist. This is the mind of the agnostic. This is a mind of liberal religion. This is a mind of humanism. This is a mind of the New Age movement. Don't you forget that. Don't you get swallowed up with this New Age religion. It's the mind of the New Age movement. It's the mind of a permissive society. It's the mind of a worldly Christian. It's the mind of a rebellious teenager. It's the mind of rock music. It's the mind of the rock culture. It's the mind of secular education. It's the mind of evolution. It's the mind of the murderers that call themselves the abortionists. It's the mind of the homosexual queer crowd. It's the mind of the liquor traffic. It's the casino mind and the lottery philosophy mind. That's the mind. Over here, the sinless, wonderful, pure, godly mind of the Son of God, into whom never entered covetousness and never entertained an evil thought and never hated anybody and never had envy and never had revenge. Over here, you have this wicked, filthy, vile mind of human as depraved as hell itself, and yet Christian people all over this room are using your mind instead of the mind of Christ.
This is the man that has destroyed the home. This is a man that has disintegrated the family. This is a man that has apostatized the church. This is a man that has decadized America. This is a man that has secularized Christianity. This is a man that has demonized our youth. This is a man that has pulverized our character. This is a man that has terrorized our schools. This is a man that has humanized our Savior. This is a man that has homogenized the sexes. This is the man that has capsized democracy. This is the man that has fantasized utopia. This is the man that has ostracized virginity. This is the man that has minimized honesty. And this is the man that has downsized decency. Ladies and gentlemen, I contend it's time for the people of God to stand up and say, I have the mind of Christ. I'm going to let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now let's make it practical. You hear me carefully. Don't you sit, don't you talk, listen carefully. You and your spouse may have the same mind. But I have my own ideas and he has his. Yeah, I know, that's the secular, that's the fleshly mind. But you don't have to have your own ideas, you can have the ideas of Christ. I'm saying the greatest... The greatest marriage counseling known to mankind is for the husband and the wife each to have the mind of Christ, to have the same mind. No need for divorces. No need for separation. No need for bickering. No need for the warfare inside the walls of our houses. No need for fussing. No need for fighting. No need for perjuring your vows at the altar. And I'm sick and tired of folks standing right there in front of me and promising till death do us part. Brother, if you don't mean that, don't you ask me to marry you. I'm sick and tired of you taking my ministry and my life, and I ask you, do you, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, to love and cherish till death do us part? If you don't mean that, then let's close up shop and go home. Quit your bickering. Get on your knees. Claim the mind of Christ. You both have it. If you're saved, you both have it. Claim it. And then you won't say, I have my opinion, he has his. You can both say, we both have his opinion. By the way, if either one did it, it would save your marriage. How many times have I said this? No marriage would ever dissolve, in my opinion, if either party were a good Christian. This could put divorce courts out of business, bankrupt divorce lawyers, hallelujah, give millions of children a mommy and a daddy, and put the humanized books on marriage in the garbage where they belong. A couple came to me, and they said, preacher, we're facing divorce. She and I just don't agree. If you had the same mind, you would. You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of folks theorizing Christianity. Christianity is no theory. Christianity is practical. And you and your wife can agree if you both have the mind of Christ. Well, I have my opinions. And they're lousy, too. Why don't you have his opinions? You have the mind of Christ. This couple came to my office. By the way, I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night couple. You folks say, well, I just got a hot temper. That's your mind, not his. I'm talking about a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night couple. I'm talking about a couple that tithe. I'm talking about this couple came to me. Decent, honorable, Christian people. Couldn't get along. And I counseled, and I counseled, and I counseled. And finally I said, come, let me come around on your side of the desk. I got on my knees between the two of them. And I said, pray this prayer. Said to her, pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I claim your mind in the place of mine. Sir, you pray that prayer. Dear Jesus, I claim your mind in the place of mine. Now I said, you're sincere people. You pray that prayer 5 times a day from the depths of your heart and it'll change your marriage. It's a disgrace. Folks, it's a disgrace. For you not to get along with your spouse. It's a disgrace. Pitiful. If your children got along like you and your husband get along, you'd spank them 3 times a day. And somebody ought to spank you 3 or 4 times a day. You wives ought to quit your fussing, quit your nagging, and decide you're going to be a good Christian for a change. But you say, you don't know my husband. I don't know your husband, but I know your Savior. I know His fine is available for you. Now, put it in. I said, put it in. Good night, what's wrong with us? Not only would you and your spouse, can you and your spouse have the same mind? But you and your parents can have the same mind. Everybody who's a kid, listen to me. Teenagers and down, you listen to me. If you're saved, Christianity is as much for you as it is for me. And there's no double standard. Brother Hiles doesn't have anything that you can't have and are not supposed to have. No need for rebellion. No need for a home with being a battlefield. Get on your knees, young people, and train the mind of Christ. And mom and dad, get on your knees and train the mind of Christ and do it several times every day. I say every day. I say every day. But my mom and I just don't see eye to eye. But Jesus and Jesus see eye to eye. Well, I write to my opinion. Would you show me that in the Bible, please? Come on, put up a shut up. Where is it? Where's your scripture? You have a right to your opinion. You don't have a right to anybody's opinion but your Creator's opinion, God's opinion. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That isn't all. And by the way, there ought to be hundreds of young people get right with God tonight and quit this bickering, rebellion, fussing with each other. But don't you expect your kids to do it if you and the old lady don't get along too well, or you and the old man don't get along real well. Hey, Christianity either works or it doesn't work, and it's not something to come to church 3 hours a week and sit here and sing and hear a sermon. It's something to take home with you and act out and live day by day, and the only way you'll do it is to put the CD of the mind of Christ in and take your mind out. Our churches could have the same mind. It's a disgrace what's going on in our independent Baptist churches. Every single week of my life, I get at least one call, usually a half a dozen calls, or counseling sessions when I travel to speak. Same old thing. Our church is having a split. That is a disgrace in the sight of Almighty God. Back in the days when Abraham and Lot's herdmen couldn't get along with each other, there's one little line there that's overlooked so often. It says that Abraham's herdmen and Lot's herdmen were not getting along, quarreling. And it says the Canaanite and the Perizzite were in the land. The Canaanite and the Perizzite, heathen people, they saw Abraham and Lot's herdmen not getting along. And the unsaved world looks at us and says, the Masonic Lodge gets along better than your church does. Rebecca Lodge gets along better than your church does. And the reason is, we as individuals have not inserted the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Now let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The average Baptist church makes the average political campaign look millennial. Get on your knees. Look up to heaven and from the depths of your soul several times a day. Say, dear Jesus, I claim your mind. I wonder how many times my staff's heard me pray that prayer. I wonder how many thousands of times they've heard me at staff meeting, "Dear Lord, we claim your mind today. Control our minds as we make the decisions that we have to face." I pray that prayer as much as any prayer I pray in my life. Dear God, control my mind. Let me have your mind. I got a letter this last week, a week or two ago. A little lady in our church, a lovely lady. She said, "I said to a friend of mine recently, how would you like to have Brother Howes' load for one day?" Yesterday, I probably made 100 decisions that you asked me about yesterday morning alone. Poor dumb guy can't make his own decisions. But I'm sure that I made 100 decisions yesterday. And those decisions affect Howes Anderson College. And those decisions affect future preachers in America. And those decisions affect the few churches all over America. And those decisions may or may not hold America's future and the future of our young people in their hands. I've got to make the right decision. And I don't have enough sense to do it. I can't pass this church with my mind. But hallelujah, I've got his mind available. And so do you. So do you. Friends could have the same mind if they so chose. Let me close with an illustration, but don't put your shoes on, ladies. It may be a little long illustration. The story is about twin boys. One was named Jacob. The other was named Esau. Don't miss it. Esau was a carnal man, a fleshly kind of a man. And Jacob was a sort of a sissy kind of a guy. Jacob was a deceiver, trickster, crooked, a liar. Esau came in one day with his mind and said, "I'm going to die. I've got to have something to eat. I'm the appointed death." And Jacob, with his mind, said, "Sell me your birthright. I'll give you a bowl of soup for your birthright." Esau said, "I'm going to die anyway." Now, wait a minute. That birthright meant three things. One, it meant a double portion of the inheritance of the father's possessions. Number two, it meant the right to be in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the genealogy of Christ. Number three, it meant the right of the priestly rights for the family. He sold that for a bowl of soup. On the other hand, Jacob tricked him out of it. Jacob's mind was a mind of trickery, deceit. Esau's mind was a mind of flesh. They couldn't have the same mind. Later on, Jacob deceived him again, deceived his father. His father was blind, and Jacob went to get the blessing from his father. He put animal hair on him to make him feel like it was Esau, and his father felt up there and said it was Esau, and gave to Jacob Esau's rightful blessing. Wait a minute now. Why didn't these brothers get along? You listen to me. Listen to me. The same reason some of you children don't get along with your brothers and sisters. "I'll give you a piece of my mind." Don't make it too big a piece. You won't have much left. Give them all of it and let Jesus' mind come in. Rebecca, mother of these boys, came to Jacob and said, "Your brother's going to kill you. You take off and go back to the old home place." Jacob spent 20 years outside the will of God. Now, wait a minute. One day, Jacob decided not to use his own mind. "I'm going to go back to Esau and make it right with Esau." He inserted the mind of Christ instead of his mind. He said, "I'm going to apologize." He took a bunch of gifts to give to him. And to make it right, if he kills me, okay, I'm going to make it right. That's the mind of Christ. What he did not know was Esau had decided to insert the mind of Christ also. Here comes old burly Esau and little sissy Jacob. And Jacob says, "Esau, would you forgive me, please?" He said, "Look, all this is yours. all of these possessions, I want to give them to you. I want you to know I'm sorry. But Jacob didn't know if Esau had the same mind that he had, and they were of the same mind and one mind. And Esau said, I don't want that. Would you forgive me? Of course I'll forgive you. Would you forgive me? And there are those two brothers who've been estranged for 20 long years, reconciled in a beautiful, beautiful relationship. Why? Because they had learned to have the same mind. But had they used their own mind, they would not have had the same mind because their minds are not alike. But when the mind of Christ comes in the two parties, then they can obey the command of God when He said time and time again, be of one mind. Be of the same mind. I say it so often, but if you just make it a habit, day after day after day, first, of course, be sincere and live a decent life and be clean, all of that, read your Bible and pray, all of that, but in addition to that, if you'd several times a day simply say, dear God, I claim the mind of Christ. I've been counseling for over 50 years. Never a session of counseling I have, what I don't get on my knees in my office and say, dear God, somebody's about to walk through that door. And they're going to listen to my advice. In some cases, they're going to do what I say. Don't let me lead them astray. Hear me? I claim your mind as I counsel. And again, may I say to many of you, you ought to go across the street and join a Catholic church. Because you've got a dual kind of Christianity just like they have. The preacher is one kind of Christian and the members are the other kind of Christian. No, sir. That man over there can't forgive your sins. Only God can forgive your sins. And if he can confess yours to him, have him confess his to yours. The Bible says confess your faults one to the other. And by the way, the only difference in this fellow up here and you is the fact that I have been called to do full-time what you are supposed to do part-time. But as far as our Christian life is concerned, there are no dual requirements. What is available to me is available to you. Let this mind, Philippians 2:5. What mind? 1 Corinthians 2:16. You have the mind of Christ. Let it. Let this mind that you have be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Boy, what a deal. What a deal. You may have His mind. It's up to you. Choose the one that you insert in your spiritual CD. Would you bow your heads, please?
Our Heavenly Father, I hurt on the inside tonight. I hurt because women will go out of this room, treat their husband the same way tonight that treated him last night. Same old stubbornness, same old yelling, same old screaming. And men will go out and treat their wives the same way. Same old rebellion, same old hollering, same old screaming, same old selfishness. All because each is using his own mind. When there can be peace in that household, and love, and joy, and happiness. I hurt tonight because of young people who use their own minds. That's the reason our kids run off and get married. They use their own minds. That's the reason our kids don't get along with their parents. They're using their own minds. I hurt tonight. When I stopped to realize that the mind of Christ is available to every teenager, every child, and every adult in this room, I hurt tonight because people I love with all my heart have a choice, and they're choosing to use their own fleshly